Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
During his earthly ministry, Jesus preached truth, timeless, eternal, unchanging, applicable to our lives even today. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study the preaching of Jesus Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and Happy New Year from all of us at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. The message of Jesus Christ is timeless, it's eternal, and it is so important for our lives today. In fact, understanding what Jesus preached during his brief earthly ministry is a great way to start the new year. And so these days together, we are discovering the preaching of Christ and what mattered to Jesus and why it should matter to us. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. If you'd like more information about our ministry or this broadcast, or if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily Podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your computer or iPod, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we invite you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, as we discover Christ's preaching on the Christian's purpose in life. What a great way to start a new year to discover our purpose in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, here's Paul Chappell.
You see, it doesn't start by changing your neighborhood. It starts by you being changed and your family being changed and our church together being strong and salty. And then we can begin to make a difference in our society. You see, contrary to some modern thought, man is not evolving upward. Man is not becoming increasingly better and more moral and godly. Man has invented more ways to corrupt and destroy himself than we have time to count. Continuously we hear of more and more STDs and more kinds of drugs and more gangs and all these different things. And what I'm simply saying is that this society needs people, godly people who are salty and who will take the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I say to you this morning, the preaching of the blood and the preaching of the cross and the conversion of souls will do what government programs can never do and social programs can never do. There is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, and they are new in Him. And the Spirit of God brings about a change in their life. I heard about a church in Indiana, a real conservative farming town. They had a visitor start to visit their church. He was a rough fella. He was a motorcycle gang member, in fact. He pulled that Harley up in the front of the church, and he went in the church, and he had all the markings of his motorcycle gang and his long hair and his earrings and all the paraphernalia. And he sat towards the back. And sometimes people say, I hear you can't go to church at Lancaster Baptist unless you wear a suit and tie and this and that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Anybody's welcome at this church. And that man came to that church and he wasn't sure if he'd be welcome. And lo and behold, some of the older folks in the church started going up to that man and just being his friend. Hey, glad you're here. One of the ladies made a pie for him. And some others had him to the house for dinner. And soon that man realized that his problem was sin. And that he had a need for a Savior. And that man accepted Christ as his Savior. He continued attending that church. The summer came and he always wore long sleeves. And even in the hot, hot weather, he wore long sleeves. And one day a little girl even said to him, "How come you always wear those long coats and sleeves like that?" He said, "Well, I'll tell the pastor about it." He went over to the pastor. He said, "Pastor," he said, "a little girl asked me, I thought I'd just tell you. I wear these long sleeves because before I had Jesus in my heart, I had a tattoo of a naked woman put right here on my arm. Now I'm embarrassed by that." Pastor said, "Well, I understand. And I appreciate your sensitivity to that." A few weeks later, the man came up to the pastor. He said, "Pastor, I need a visit with you." He said, "I need to tell you something." "All right, go right ahead," the pastor said. He said, "Why? I didn't want to do it, but I felt I needed to." He said, I never thought I'd go back there, but I went back to the tattoo shop and I wanted to let you know what I did." And he pulled up his sleeve. He said, "I had him put some clothes on the lady." No one told him to do that. There was no rule published in the bulletin about that. But that man has someone living in him now. That someone is the Holy Spirit of God. When a man is saved and a woman is saved, the Spirit of God begins to lead them in the path of righteousness. But many people are not saved because Christians are not the preserving element that we should be in society. And God says, "I have a duty for you. I want you to preserve from contamination. And secondly, I want you to provide needed direction in your country. I want you to provide the direction in your family and in your neighborhood that is so needed." Now again in verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." Now here we see the necessity of spiritual light. I remember as a young boy, I worked many, many summers in the farm there at Colorado, our family farm. And I enjoyed the work and driving the tractors and hoeing the bean fields and doing all that. But what I really loved was when it was dinner time at grandma's house. I'm telling you what, we'd sit down and we'd have some kind of roast beef and mashed potatoes and gravy. And I mean, we'd have pinto beans and cornbread. I mean, it was good. Some of you just forgot all about the Bible and God. And man, I tell you what, we would eat. And then the best part was when Grandma would say at the end, she'd say, "You know, I've got some vanilla ice cream here, but it's just not really good unless we get some raspberries out of the fruit cellar for the ice cream." Oh, these weren't just any kind of raspberries. Now, these were hand-picked by my grandmother. They were placed into the mason jar and sealed just right and set up on that shelf. And sometimes she'd look at me and she'd say, "Paul, why don't you go get some of the raspberries?" And I'd jump up and say, "Yes, ma'am." I'd run down the first flight of stairs, down the second flight of stairs. I'd run through that basement area, and that was a scary enough place. There was a moose on one wall. There was an elk on another wall. And as a young boy, I wasn't sure, but I could swear those eyes followed me everywhere I went. I'd get past the moose and the elk, and then I'd put my hand on the door of that cellar, and that's when I remembered all the ghosts and goblins in Colorado live in that cellar. The problem was there wasn't a light switch. The problem was that whoever the engineer was who designed that particular room designed it so you had to walk 5 feet into the cellar and then pull a string down to get the light on. Those were the five scariest steps I've ever taken in my life. And I'll tell you what, a few times I walked in there and the string hit me right in the face and I was sure I was a goner. But I'd go in there and I'd pull that light. The light would come on. The most glorious sights in the world would be seen. I'd grab a bunch of those raspberries, run upstairs and have a great dessert. Well, I want to tell you something. This dark world in which we live needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to dispel the fear and the worry and the challenges that they are facing. And we see in the Word of God the source of our light. It's not from us. It's not because we're good. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. It's not because we're such great people. We don't go out with that message today. The light is from the Lord Jesus Himself. John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the source of the light is Jesus. And then notice the sending of the light, verse 16, let your light so shine before men. This speaks of our outward testimony for the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of light. You see, the light speaks of Jesus, and the light speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Sometimes at our missions conference, we sing this song, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Send the light from shore to shore. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to mark something in your mind. The job description that we have from Jesus Christ. I mean the great commission from Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to let our light so shine before men. That job description has not changed from last Sunday to this Sunday. My job has not changed one iota. My hope has not changed one iota. I still have the responsibility, and you have the responsibility, not to go into all the world and register voters, but to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the responsibility of the church. That is what God has called us to do. And may we recognize our duty today to be salt and to be light. May we recognize it is our responsibility as a church that we would be the preserving element in this society. But I want to show you something. Notice the danger of the Christian life. And I believe what I'm about to say is something that is reflected in our society today. The danger is in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Alexis de Tocqueville, the philosopher from France, visited our country over 150 years ago, and he said of our country, America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Salt, then, speaks of the inward character that influences a decaying world. The problem is that contamination can cause salt to lose its savoriness. Its saltiness can no longer function. You see, my friends, sin brings contamination. Sin will hinder the effectiveness of the Christian life. Sin will grieve the Holy Spirit of God and will bring a loss of power to the Christian. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are called unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, when you have bitterness towards another Christian, or when you have sin in your life or lust on your heart, the devil says, yes, yes. Because the more contamination you are experiencing in your life, the less effective you will be as a witness for Jesus Christ. And oh, how we see that Christians cannot lose their salvation, but they can lose their saltiness. And we must recognize the danger of a loss of potency. Some of you are saved by the grace of God, and thank God for it. But may you stop this morning and say, Lord, do I have your power? Am I experiencing your blessing? Am I making a difference with my life by your grace? Beware of the loss of potency. And secondly, beware of the lessening of light. Some Christians have the light, that is, they have Jesus, but they're not showing forth that light. The Bible says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. You see, the lessening of light happens when sin comes into our life. I have a good pastor friend, Bobby Robertson. He said, I don't have to keep the light shining. I just have to keep the globe clean. I like that. Jesus is the light. I don't have to keep the light shining, but I have to keep the globe clean. You walk into the entrance of our house, there's a light right in the entryway. It's kind of like a half dome light. And I noticed the other day, it's not very bright when you walk into the house. I like brightness and cheerfulness and light. And I did some investigation. I found out that insects like light. And they like to fly up around the light. I also found out they get killed by light. And they fly up around that light up there, and then they get a little too close and zap. And then they fall down in the light, in the light fixture. And I found out we have a mass burial grounds in that light fixture. I mean, I don't know how many insects have had their last breath up there. And there's dust in there. And we had to take that down and clean it out. And amazingly, the light is effervescent and the entryway is bright and cheery once again. Why? Because we've cleaned it out. And I believe today you need to understand the reason. We have an old-fashioned altar call at Lancaster Baptist Church. And yes, we encourage even Christians to come and pray and confess their sin and seek the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. And the reason we have that altar call is not just a tradition and not to waste time, but it's because a lot of good people get bugs in their heart and dirt on their heart and sin contaminates, and now the light isn't coming like it should. And we need to come and say, dear God, forgive us of our sin, and God, forgive us of what we've done that displeases you. We want our light to be shining forth in this community today. Say, well, I've got some neighbors, and I'm telling you right now, they're just the worst of the worst. Has it dawned on you that your heart is not the best of the best? May we be willing to say, Lord, help me to have a heart that is right with you. Help me, Lord, that my light would not be diminished through sin, nor through the fear of man. I want you to notice that verse again, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Some Christians are fearful of what men think. Now listen to me. There are people in America today flaunting their sin. Parading in Utah, parading in West Hollywood. They don't care one bit about what you think. Why is it that Christians sometimes are ashamed of the gospel? Why do we hide our light under a bushel? Why are we afraid to pray for our lunch? Why are we afraid to give a gospel tract? Why are we afraid to say to someone, had a great day in church yesterday? They're not afraid to tell you what they did in Las Vegas. What I'm saying to you is that sin will keep your light from shining, and fear will keep your light from shining. We used to sing a song when I was in Sunday school called This Little Light of Mine. If you know it, help me sing it right now real quick. And you have to get your light up, though, if you know. If you don't know it, we won't call you out. But if you know it now, come on now, help me. Help me if you know the song. Here's how it goes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Come on now, get with it now. Come on. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Let it shine. Let it shine. Now, I know some folks in the foyer think we're going Pentecostal this morning, but just hang on. We'll be just fine. You know, I think the teachers were trying to teach me as a little boy, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let it shine. And make sure your heart's right, and make sure the bulb is clean so that this world can see Jesus. The danger of the Christian life is that sin will come and rob the saltiness, and sin will come and hide the light from getting out. But then I want you to see not only our duty and not only the danger, but finally this morning, the delight of the Christian. Very quickly, what is our delight? Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My friend, the delight of the Christian is in bringing honor to the Father. The purpose of letting our light shine and revealing our good works is not to bring attention and praise to ourselves. Oh, look what I did. No. Our intent is that we might bring praise to the God we serve and who saved us. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. 1 Peter 4:14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. It is a delight that you and I are privileged to bring honor to the Lord, and it will be a delight someday when the Lord honors you in the future. You see, my friend, we're not going to get a lot of glory in this world, but one one day we will be honored by the Lord. I'll not take a lot of time, but I want you to notice in verse 17, we see the perfection of Christ. He came to fulfill the law. And in verse 18, we see the permanence of the scripture. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away. But then I want you to know in verse 19, the promise to the believer is that we will be rewarded in due time. The latter portion of the verse. Whosoever shall do and teach them God's commandments, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This speaks of the coming millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, according to your faithfulness to me and to my law in this world today, I will reward you and I will bless you in the day to come. You'll see it there in your notes, Revelation 24. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You see, believers from this age and believers that are faithful during the tribulation time are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I don't understand all about that. Just know this, my friend. We're saved by the wonderful grace of God. He's keeping track of your faithfulness during this time. And while you may not be rewarded like you think you should be here on this earth, He will allow you to rule and reign with Him in the kingdom to come. Oh, do you understand it this morning? Politics tries to change people from the outside in, but Jesus changes people from the inside out. And our responsibility as salt and light is to let the light of Jesus shine in this world so that men and women will see our lives, so that they will see a difference, and that we would be ready always to give an answer to anyone that asketh the reason of the hope that is within us. Oh, listen, friend, you may know who you voted for. You may have studied that out very carefully. You may have studied all the propositions and made your best decision, but some of you have not taken similar time, emotion, and energy to study your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if the truth were known, you do not know beyond the shadow of a doubt today that if you died, you would spend eternity with God in heaven. I'm simply saying to you this morning, there are some important matters at hand, and the important matter at hand is simply this: the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand? You could convince every person in this city to your particular persuasion. But if they do not know Christ as Savior, they will not spend heaven, eternity in heaven. And it's vitally important today that we as Christians are salt and light. And it's even more important that if you do not know Christ as Savior, that you would realize as a sinner, you fall short. The wages of your sin is spiritual death and separation from God. But by grace, you can be saved through Jesus Christ. If you would turn to Him this morning and say, Lord, I've tried to be good. I've tried to have some religion, but today I put my complete trust and faith in You and Your shed blood. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not asking you if you have religion. I'm not asking you if you're a pretty conservative kind of a guy. I'm asking you today, are you saved? Are you saved? Because that, my friend, is the most important question that could ever be asked of anyone. And if you are saved, I'm asking you, how's your saltiness? How's your light? How's your testimony to a world filled with contamination? Are you making a difference? Let us pray. Father, thank You for this time to open Your word and to hear from You our marching orders. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would forgive us where we have allowed moths and rust and dust to hinder the light. Forgive us where we have allowed sin to contaminate the saltiness. Lord, I pray this morning that You would speak to each heart.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Considering the Preaching of Christ. We're starting a new year by rediscovering what was Jesus' central message, what did He preach about in His brief earthly ministry, and why is it important for us to understand these truths and apply them to our lives. If you would like to hear this entire message or any of the recent broadcasts from Daily in the Word, we do invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to contact us. You'll also find a link to subscribe to a complimentary daily devotion from Dr. Chappell that can arrive in your email box each and every day. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your iPod or computer, or refer it to a friend who maybe does not live in an area where our program is broadcast. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chappell entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us, and we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.